Weekends are funny on Absolute Radio.
And that all starts now with the most exciting man ever to don a cardigan.
John Richardson.
Exciting, effervescent, effortlessly uplifting.
Okay then, if you say so.
This is the John Richardson Show.
With John Richardson.
Welcome to See You Later, Miss. It's the John Richardson Show podcast of Absolute with Angela Barnes.
Hello, John. Oh, I said that really weird. I don't know what happened. It's like I've been possessed. Hello, John.
Well, I tell you what, I think we've both changed since we had the voice note from Nick Snaith at Magic. And I think when you hear from a consummate professional and a proper broadcaster,
yeah,
it does sort of make you realise, oh, I don't sound like that.
I've not been trained. I've just turned up and have winged it so far.
Yeah, I'm not. I sometimes think, I don't know what I do, because I've written a book, but I am not an author. I've been in Waterloo Road, but I'm not an actor. I don't know what I am. I continue to do things that, when I look back, I think, what were they doing? And then they offered me it, so it's their fault.
Oh, yeah, quite. If they ask you if you want to do it, you say yes, John. That's...
Absolutely. Do you want to be grouchy, Smurf?
Maybe yes. Professional blagger?
Yeah, well, that's exactly what it is. Yeah. But how do you parent like that? How do I tell my daughter all the things you're supposed to say as a parent? Well, get your exams to fall back on, but you never use them. Well, no, I don't use them, but one might in a different realm.
I am very lucky.
If society falls, it won't be me they call for. I'm not the one.
I don't know, they might want to put on a show.
That scene in the zombie thing where they're like, don't hit the comedian. I'm not the doctor or the teacher. No one's calling me prof when it all falls down. But Nick Snaith joins us. Well, put it this way. He's not the I love you but, so he's probably going to be the literal police, an upsetting literal police. But, you know, we get through it. A little bit of talk about the Smurfs and our first ever live quiz.
I think so, and I think we should do more. I really enjoyed it.
You did enjoy it. Very high stakes as well. Hear all that on this week's podcast. If you hear anything that makes you want to join in, if you want to answer any of the questions that crop up, like, have you ever passed a big stone? Email address is john@absoluteradio.com.
Will's going to come back from his holiday and get some great emails.
Oh, yeah, if you've got a picture or even just some audio of it rattling in the test tube. Here's the podcast. Welcome along to the John Richardson Show on Absolute with Angela Barnes and an update on her gallstones. So if that isn't enough to keep you staying tuned, then I don't know what is, other than to say, it's the summer holidays, baby. No more school for 6 weeks. See you later, miss. Happy Saturday. John Richardson here with Angela Barnes.
Hello.
And Dave and Charlie in the studio. What's Dave wearing? He's wearing a T-shirt.
Glad we got that clear. Has it gone out on Jazz FM? That's what we need to check.
It will eventually.
Yeah,
all things
does.
Find their way to Jazz FM. This is the part of the show where if you weren't with us last week, we give you a little recap of what you missed. It's like when you're watching something on a streaming device, but there's no button to skip recap. So you're having the recap whether you like it or not, because organisation is important and it's what we do.
Yeah, it's what you do. For sure.
It's what I do. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's what I do. It's why you listen to this show and you don't ever get that mad energy that people seem to like. What you get here is calm control of a Saturday morning.
Last week you were experimenting with new ways to sort of come in after the song.
Yeah.
Do you remember? Yeah.
Okey-dokey.
I can't wait to see what you come up with this week. Yeah, we had okie dokie. And then you did your proper smashy and nicey as well. I enjoyed that.
Well, we begin with your audition for New Ways of Presenting Radio. Ooh. And this is your application to yourself get a slot on Jazz FM.
John, I'm quite a heavy girl.
There you go.
Oh, no, I just feel like there's creepy men across the country who are going to have that as their ringtone.
Okay, yeah. Is that still a thing, downloading ringtones?
No, I'm about 25 years too late, I think.
Yeah, I think even the creepy men have moved on from that now. Just phone's on silent, especially if you're a creepy man. Anyway, let's stop talking about how much I know about the behaviour of creepy men. Listener Paul...
Yes.
Yeah, I said that like it was a parishioner.
Do you know what that sounded like? It sounded a little bit like when a tape sort of starts to, you know, when the battery starts going to Walkman. That's what happened.
We're
then
hitting all the references today, aren't we? Downloading ringtones, Walkman.
I know the absolute demographic.
Yeah,
there's no one listening to this who doesn't know what a tape battery running out sounds like.
You're listening to this on your iPod shuffles, you kids. I thought it sounded a bit like a minister, like the Simpsons minister. Listener Paul. Anyway, we had a little bit of a pop at Paul because he booked a hotel 365 yards from his house. I'm pleased to say he's been in touch with some clarification.
Morning, John. Paul from last week. I travel 365 yards from my boat to stay on a hotel once a month. It's a little treat to myself. I love my boat. It's beautiful. However, every so often, a gentleman just feels as though he needs to wallow all his bits and pieces in a bath. Far better than a shower. Anyway, have a good show. Catch up with you later. Bye.
Oh,
so he, once a month, he has a bath in a hotel. That's quite...
Yeah, like, but crucially, he showers in between.
What's confused me there, though, he said he likes a wallow. I would hazard a guess that wallowing is better if you're in the river than if you're in a bath.
Yeah, I think so. But he's wallowing all his bits and pieces, which suggests...
Okay, I don't want to think about that too much.
Some of his bits and pieces don't go in the river. But anyway, I'm sure Fergal Sharkey has a comment or two on the effects of Paul's wallowing. It's a very expensive bath, but I respect the commitment. And we were talking about pizza last week. This is exceptional. We did not share this one, just because it took a week to sort of get to grips with, really. But this is from Mark.
Hi, John. As you were discussing pizza toppings, I thought I'd share one of my favourite creations with you. Being a fellow northerner from where corned beef is revered, I created a corned beef hash pizza. Chunks of corned beef, handful of sweet corn, sprinkling a sliced onion, and if you're feeling inclined to treat yourself, a few baked beans. Blooming awesome. Cheers, Mark.
Wow. I mean, yeah. I will say, we do eat corned beef hash in the south. Like, that's not a northern thing, is it?
Yeah, but you don't enjoy it the way we do because you've got other stuff like roads and tellies. Yeah, it doesn't mean to you what it means to us.
You'll
never
know
the true meaning of corned beef.
I love corned beef hash.
I
don't want to put it on a pizza, though.
No, it was a key meal for me in the bedsit budgeting days because you could get a tin of corned beef hash for 37 pence, I remember.
Nice.
I could get a little potato and some stock. And I could feed myself for 3 days for less than a quid. I mean, it was absolutely... But you've got to wonder how you can raise and slaughter and package an animal and make a profit on 37 pence.
Well,
and that's...
let's not think about that. I don't think there was a lot of beef in that corned beef.
It's something I'm happy to look back on now, but at the time it was more important to chow it down. I don't think I'd eat a corned beef pizza. I would love to know if you're straining the beans on kitchen towel, like our news story last week. I don't think you are.
No, I don't think he's taking the care that the chef took over the...
No, absolutely not. But kudos to you for cooking a meal that I'm sure looked the same on the way in as on the way out.
Oh,
you can get in touch about anything, anytime you like. Email john@absoluteradio.co.uk. Angela.
John.
How are you?
I'm all right, actually. I feel so much better. I don't know if you can tell.
You've got an energy about you this week.
I was a bit woozy last week.
I'll tell you what, though, last week, I see you in pretty exceptional form for someone who'd not recently come out of hospital and was antibiotics up to the eyeballs.
Oh, thanks, mate.
I think you were doing well last week, so the problem is you've set your bar too high now.
Oh, no. This is it. I should eke it out, shouldn't I? Make the sympathy last longer, sort of.
Yeah, well, I sort of... My roller coaster is more an emotional one. So
right.
You've gone from hospital and antibiotics and shown an energy level that I reserve the right to be at just because I'm in a bad mood. It's really unpleasant. So is everything all right? Are you unwell? No, I just don't want to be here today.
Fair enough. But I think I'm not good at being ill because I feel guilty for not doing things. I'm not good at just sitting still, you know, and my mind just goes, you're lazy, what's it? Come on, you should be doing things. So that's why when, like, you know, I came in on Saturday last year, my agent was like, are you sure you're all right to go in? I was, yes, because I'm going to drive myself crazy if I just sit at home for another day.
And again, we're with the same agent, so that just proves the bar that I have set. Are you sure you're going in? Because John wouldn't. John once didn't go to work because it was raining. Yeah.
John doesn't want to come in because you've been ill.
Yeah, I apologise for the hazmat suit last week, if you could hear it rustling.
Gallbladder infections are not catching, John. I keep telling you
that. I'm
not
sure if you can catch gallstones.
Depends how hard I throw them.
Yeah, and you've done...
Charlie liked that one.
Charlie likes that
she
one,
really liked
she?
That one.
Oddly, yeah. Maybe that's her thing, throwing gallstones.
We'll find out when I've had them removed.
I imagine you would sort of flick one. I don't know what size they get to.
I'm guessing they're sort of marble size. Maybe we could play marbles with them.
Oh, not marble size. You'd feel a marble in
there,
wouldn't
you? Oh, yeah, that's true, wouldn't you? That's quite big, I suppose.
I think you'd be disappointed.
Do you think? piece.
My cousin passed a kidney stone.
Oh no!
And was very disappointed, given the sort of fuss it made on the way out, at how small it actually was.
Yeah, they're supposed to be really painful, kidney stones.
It's backfired now, Charlie. You laugh at a joke, and what you get is then an in-depth conversation about the size of stones. I wonder if anybody listening has kept a stone that they've passed.
I bet they have. I bet they have. I'm going to make mine into earrings.
I think there might be one of the bits and pieces that gets washed in the river on Paul's boat. I think he keeps taking his stones to keep them in prime condition.
So he takes them to the hotel to give them a proper wallow.
Yeah, absolutely. And are you enjoying not gigging? Because that's the key thing. I was thinking this week about, I went to watch Matt Ford, the comedian Matt Ford, currently on a break from Absolute Radio.
Oh, yeah.
But back soon with Rock and Roll Football on Saturday afternoons. He is previewing his Edinburgh show. I went to watch. And I thought, what a unique job it is. When you start work at 8 p.m, you lose that thing of finishing work at 5, and however stressful the day's been, you can have a takeaway and watch a bit of telly. Yep. It's such a unique feeling being nervous from 8 a.m. until 8 p.m. And then at 10 a.m, you get this euphoric energy where you're then up till a point where you're then stressed about the next day. So you're like, right, it's 3 a.m. and I'm still running around the bedroom.
That's it. Or when you're in the car on your way home from, especially when it's a preview, when you're working on a new show, so you're anxious that the new joke's going to work and there's so much adrenaline. And yes. Then you're in the car and you're on the M4, just, I don't know what to do with this energy now.
Yeah, absolutely.
I did do a show on Monday, actually. I did. I drove down to Bristol and did a show and then...
Charity gig? Back.
It was a charity gig, John.
I knew it.
Yeah, there's a when little smugness. This isn't my official smugness, but my little smugness is I got there and two of the other acts had done sickies for the charity gig in Bristol on Monday night. And I was there and I was like, hang on a minute.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So there's a little smugness for you.
I mean, yeah, I realise as I encourage you to be pulling work because you've had a genuine illness that you are doing a charity gig for me on Monday.
I am, so careful.
Yeah. Whilst I endorse that you are entitled to some time off, I think from Tuesday onwards, you need to really put your feet up and relax. Although Monday, you should be at Sheffield City Hall with me. Well, congratulations on your charity work and congratulations to Matt Ford on his Edinburgh preview, which I have to say.
I can't wait to see his show.
If you're lucky enough to be going to Edinburgh and to see Matt Ford's show, what can I say other than I'm sure he'll have got it sorted by the time he gets up there. John,
I thought you were being too nice. I thought Fordy might listen to this and he'll be going, what's going on? John's being really sincere.
I would say his Trump is already exceptional, impression, I mean. that also.
Yeah.
Keir Starmer is exceptional. The Lee Anderson, he does a Lee Anderson bit where I was just, you know, you're like a phone on vibrate. I was at the end of my row just sort of shaking silently with laughter so as not to disrupt the
next
bit.
Is it one of those, I love those jokes when you think about them on the way home and they make you go, ha, out loud.
It's such a visual image that it stays with you for some time.
Amazing.
Long and story short.
I wasn't going to pick up on it, John, but you picked up on it yourself.
Yeah, well, if I don't pick up on it, it'll be next week's unfinished business. long and story short from a short man. The short story is, if you've passed a big stone, let us know. john@absoluteradio.co.uk. So, as I have already pointed out, and Angela's backed me up, organisation is at the very heart of what we do here at not at Absolute Radio, but the John Richardson
Show. Just specifically this show. I think Absolute you can't Radio emphasize is about that enough. I don't
playing
think
good
other
music
shows
and having a good time.
Yeah.
No, I don't think so. I think they'll come off the back of a link and rely on their charm and charisma to get them through.
Yeah. Dave Benn's not worried about organisation, is he? He's got other people to worry about that.
He's not staring at a pre-printed document, is he, Dave Berry?
No, he's winging it.
That's what it says here anyway. so here's what we will do this morning. I mean, we might not.
We have been known to meander from our plans.
We have been known to meander, but we've not yet dropped a feature, have we?
No.
We've never gone, oh my God, it's time to go, and we haven't done any of our stuff because we were just riffing on cornichon and gherkins.
I don't think you or I could cope if we went away and go, oh no, we forgot to do literal police. I think we'd have to crash the next hour. we'd have to crash Emil or whoever's coming up next today and
Sarah
go, sorry,
Champion
but we haven't done literal police yet, so you're just going to have to wait.
So with the caveat that we might not, but we almost certainly will, we will have today I Love You But, which is a lovely little, it's just a lovely little needle into someone's relationship, isn't it? One dedication a week, but it has to be something mean about the person. Smugness, which is something mean. I don't know if you spot a theme here. Smugness is just a little needle into people's lives where I'm just needlessly mean about something.
Well, John basically just likes to bring people down, don't you, John? It's Saturday is the day for relaxing and being happy, but it shouldn't necessarily be that way.
You find your audience, and ours is people who have a bath one time a month. That's who. That's what you get when you're just rude to people. So if you're feeling proud of yourself, if it's been your monthly bath and you want me to bring you down, john@absoluteradio.co.uk, Angela will say something she's proud of. I will be horrible about it. Mm-hmm. I am going to turn inwards today. I'm going to punch not up but down, but inwards. We're going to have a little discussion about an advert that has been played on this very station.
Right.
In which I am mentioned. Ooh. But I will say sort of in passing.
I can't wait for this.
Literal police back again to continue the theme where I'm needlessly mean to people who've done nothing wrong but try and put good work out into the world. They've got a bit excited. They've overused a word. And I invite you to send me clips of it so I can brutalise them on the radio. And then, again, just for balance, we punch inward. It's the Britpop Summer Diaries, Britpop Summer on Absolute Radio. Or you will have heard all the DJs talking about their favourite Britpop tracks. Why? When they first saw them live, there's none of that. I will tell you what I was doing while everyone was having a great time this week.
Don't worry, people, I was having a great time.
You will tell the listeners of your great time.
I was having a great time in the Britpop era. Oh.
Yeah, we're at October 95 for a very specific reason. I'll tell you this, there's a picture this week I'm going to show you.
Oh.
It will either make you feel sorry for me or it will make you absolutely hate me.
Oh, and I am excited. So excited, because that's a fine line I walk every week, John.
It's a fine line. So stay tuned. That's all coming up. john@absoluteradio.co.uk if you want to join in. Now, I have appeared on Absolute Radio against my will this week.
Really? Usually it's Jazz FM you appear on against your will.
Yeah, against everybody's will on Jazz FM. So I appeared in the Smurfs movie, which is out at the moment.
Yeah, you never mention it.
I never mention it, no.
And it's exciting. You're an actual Smurf.
Oh, no, I went to an actual cinema this week just to look. to see the posters there.
Did you?
I don't know. Because some of them are enormous. Like, they're, if you can picture such a thing, Angela, they're twice my height.
No.
I mean, these things are 6 foot
the
tall.
The size of a normal man.
And I want one, but I'm too shy to say, can I have that? When you've finished with it, because they'll say, why do you want it? And then I'll have to say, because that's me.
I'll ask them for you, John.
Would you mind going
I'll in? Pop in and ask for you,
it's
don't
weirder
worry.
For you. Yeah, that's John Richardson is grousey Smurfs poster. Anyway.
I want to throw darts at it.
Oh, we'll come on to the darts.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I am not the lead character, shall we say.
Well, not officially.
Not officially, yeah. There's a reason people are turning up. And one of the adverts that has been played, one of the reasons I don't do adverts is because they go out a lot. And I think sometimes it frustrates people. But luckily, yeah. I'm so barely mentioned in the advert for the Smurfs movie alongside people that I don't want to judge Josh Widdicombe and what he's into and what he likes.
Yeah.
See if you can pick up on who he's most excited to be talking about here from the number of times he says the actual before one name and then not at all before the second name. Here's the trailer for the Smurfs.
Rihanna. Rihanna is Smurfette. And also, have you been through the cast, right? We are talking John Goodman as Papa Smurf, James Corden as No Name Smurf, Sandra Oh, and this is the one I'm excited about. Yeah. John Richardson. As Grouchy Smurf. Talk about cast correctly, yeah.
Oh, he did say you're the one he's excited about. There's
he
only
did,
a hint
under
of
his
sarcasm
breath.
There. Only a
yes.
Tiny hint of...
A tiny hint of anything.
Well, yeah.
From I'm not going to say two tiny men, because I've realised I've fallen into a slight trap of talking about Josh like we've both agreed it's okay to say that the other one is smaller than Mayday. And I've never actually asked him.
I've got a lovely photograph of backstage photo, and it's of you, Josh, and Ellis James. I'll have to find it. And you look so happy in the photograph, because I think it's the only photo that's ever been taken where you're the tallest man.
Now, that one I have got blown up 6 foot tall, and it's on the bedroom wall. So I don't need the Smurfs poster, actually, now that you say that'll it. It's not going to make me feel any better than that.
Just paint Josh blue in it.
Oh, I could do that, yeah. Actually.
You could be like the Blue Man Group.
Yeah, I think they've got quite good skills, haven't they, the Blue Man Group? So they do quite sort of good physical stuff.
I don't really know what it is they do, the Blue Man Group, apart from be blue.
They do like physical stunts.
Do they do like, do they drum and stuff, or am I getting them mixed up with Stomp? Are they different things,
Blue Man Group and Stomp? As long as you don't do it on my laptop, why don't you Google Blue Men Performance Skills and see what comes up. Have you Googled Blue Men?
I have Googled Blue Men. I'm so excited, John, because at first when I read this, because you're a Smurf, gateway to being a Blue Man, surely, in the Blue Man Group. So I've Googled what Blue Man Group members have to be. And I got really excited because at first it says they require a unique blend of skills encompassing physical theatre. Reckon you can do that. Musicality. Yeah. You've got a lovely voice, John.
Sure.
And a willingness to embrace vulnerability. Oh, that's you, John, right? So I was getting excited. Not only are you willing to embrace vulnerability, you're vulnerability personified.
Oh, it's forced upon me.
However, the next line might be a bit of a stumbling block because it says they need to be physically fit and between 5'10" and 6'1".
Didn't want to be in it anyway.
Oh, well. So close, John, so close. Maybe if they have like a mini Blue Man Group, you could be in that.
I will set up my own group called the Green Men. Who are below 5'10" and wear only recycled Blue Men outfits. Imagine they'd be in a state if they're doing physical theatre.
The sustainable Blue Man Group.
They'll want a dip in the river. Anyway, it's time for I Love You But. If you are tuned in this morning because you want to hear a lot of cheesy, heartfelt dedications to people that you love, you're in the wrong place. We don't do that here, but we do one shout out a week as long as you say something mean about the person you're shouting out. This week, it comes from Michael.
Dear I love you, but you made me write and perform a love song at our own wedding with no heads up, no preparation time, just 15 minutes on the timer.
What?
So that is, for context, that is Mike, who married Tia.
Lovely. So far, so good.
Now, Tia's family, I don't know if you've ever heard of this sort of thing before, but Tia's family have a tradition for weddings.
Okay.
I don't know how many weddings you need to have in a family for there to be a tradition, but they're quite rare events anyway. The idea,
it depends on the size of your family. Like, I've got 41 first cousins. There's a lot of weddings.
Well, you could take this then. So Tia's family say that at some point on the wedding day, the bride will be kidnapped, and in order for the groom to show his love and retrieve his bride, he has to perform a forfeit of some various kind. Mike's forfeit on his own wedding day, which, it's a stressful day.
Yeah.
It's a stressful day anyway. Mike was told to get Tia back, you have to write and perform a unique song that you've written yourself. You have 15 minutes and then you have to perform it in front of the entire wedding party.
So on his wedding day?
Yeah, when he's got his speech to worry about and not tripping over down the aisle and all that.
And all that stress and marrying the love of his life. And he's got no hint about this beforehand. Like no run up, no. Suddenly perform and sing in front of everybody. If on my wedding day somebody said to me, we've kidnapped your husband, you now have to write and sing a song in front of people, my husband would still be kidnapped.
I totally agree.
There's absolutely no... I can't sing in front of people. I'm in a family of musicians, right? And I'm the only one, the gene has passed by completely. My uncle once said to me, everyone was having a sing song and he looked at me and he went, not you, when you sing, we don't get a harvest. So there's absolutely no way I would sing in front of my entire family.
No, well, do you want to enjoy the sound of what it sounds like? Because I'm pleased to reveal that we have a clip of Mike singing at the wedding.
Yeah, sure. Let's just compound that humiliation by playing it on the airwaves.
Here we go.
Tia, oh Tia, please come back to me. Oh Tia, oh Tia, please come back to me.
I mean, Leonard Cohen's got nothing to worry about, has he?
Yeah, it's a fine line between oh Tia and oh dear, isn't it? That's not bad. And he's gone for it.
Yeah, I think all you can do in that situation is belt it out, and he's belted it. I like the mariachi sort of flavour to it as well, almost. There was a little sort of Mexican flavour to that, was there?
Yeah, there was. A touch of cocoa about it. Now, I'll tell you what I struggle with here, and I will dedicate the song. But for me, it's Michael who's been humiliated there, and yet he's dedicating a song to Tia as if Tia's had something bad said about her. I think Tia has got some apologising to do there.
Yeah, I think so.
I will dedicate the song to Tia and Michael, because nice. I think Michael's been through the ringer there as well. If you want to have next week's one and only dedication, you've got to really go in, because if we have one like that where it's not quite enough, next week's needs to be brutal. Yeah. So if you loathe the person that you are stuck in a relationship with and you just want to flay them alive on the radio, john@absoluteradio.co.uk, this is for Tia and Michael.
John Richardson.
And the John Richardson Show. This is the John Richardson Show.
In a unique departure from form for the show, this is the bit where I'm a little bit mean.
Yeah. Oh, how will the audience take it?
I know, we'll see. Come with such a shock. Don't worry, I'll be lovely again.
I do worry slightly about this feature, because I think people listening, you know, they hear me week on week saying something smug about my... I want them to know I'm not a smug... This doesn't come easily to me, this feature.
No, you make and I do force
every
you
week
into it.
Do it, and I'm just like, I'm not smug. I haven't done anything.
It's quite good. Well, if anything, you should be more proud of the things you achieve. So I view this as, you know, albeit I dress it up as it's me being mean, really, it's my chance for you to do some positive affirmation, Angela.
Thanks, John. This your basically... God, imagine if you were actually my therapist.
Oh, my goodness.
How desperate
wow.
would you have to be?
There's a movie deal. So have you done something you're proud of this week?
I am quite proud of myself, because on Tuesday, having, as you know, I was a bit poorly last week. And,
yes,
you know,
very poorly.
Quite
hospital
poorly.
Ridden.
Hospital poorly. But I went to the gym on Tuesday. I went to see my trainer and I had to take it a bit easy. Like, I wasn't getting any PBs and I had to, you know, I couldn't lift as heavy as I usually lift. But I did do some deadlifts and some bench presses and some other bits and bobs. And so I felt quite proud of myself for showing up.
So what is the time span from leaving hospital to back in the gym doing deadlifts?
6 days? 5 days.
Under a week from hospital to deadlift. it's hard to know what to say, really, because that is quite impressive.
Thanks, mate. But what I want you to remember, John, have faith in yourself, because you have taken down a paediatric nurse, as we remind you.
Oh, don't
weekly,
worry, I've got something to say.
Oh, good. Okay.
Oh, don't worry, I've got something.
I was worried then for a second. Your face looked a little bit like, I don't know how to do this one.
No, there was a minute where I thought, shall I just be nice? Because I'll let you into a little secret. I found some weights in my garage this week.
Ooh.
And I thought, do you know what? Because actually you do get to an age where resistance-based training is very important.
Very important. Bone strength.
It's not just about cardio. You've got to get that bone strength up. You've got to train the body to make that muscle. That's what's going to keep you healthy and fit when you're older. So I found these weights and I did a few things with them.
I want to know what you did, John. What did you do?
Well, I'll tell you what I did. I didn't do a lot. I was only in the garage about 5 or 10 minutes, but the next day I could not open the garage door. So I'm a way off being physically competent.
And
so
you don't
let me
mean
just
you
say,
couldn't open the garage door because you'd left a weight in the way? You mean you
no,
physically
I mean
couldn't open
I'd,
the...
I had injured myself.
Oh, John, you have to stretch and warm up. You know
do
this.
Have to stretch and warm up. You know this. So let me just say before I mean that obviously the weight training is crucial and important when we're following your progress. You've deadlifted me.
Yeah.
So we know what you're capable of. However, I would say if you're able to do it within 6 days of coming out of hospital, it's not proper exercise. You couldn't have done a marathon.
Oh,
for
no.
example,
I mean,
on
I wasn't breaking any records on Tuesday, but I think just turning up at the gym, I had a perfect excuse not to, but I still went.
Yeah, absolutely. And just turning up is absolutely is irrelevant. right, I feel suitably limbered up. That was my stretch.
My
stretch now.
Nice.
So I can be properly mean to Sean. Sean's been in touch and this is what he's smug about.
Hey, John, with all last week's chat about wife-carrying races and Angela declaring herself a heavy girl, I feel obliged to get my smugness on full display and tell you that my wife, Karen, and I entered the wife-carrying race at Bath Racecourses, and we won. It was a quarter of a furlong of wife-carrying. Most were opting for the piggyback method. I went with over the one shoulder. My wife was slapping my bum to make me run faster as we were getting caught. We held on and won because the other couple tripped and fell, and we won our combined weight in Bath Ale. Yours smugly, Sean.
Well.
Oh, I really want to enter that, but I want to carry my husband. Is that allowed?
Would you go piggyback or would you go over the shoulder?
I'd go piggyback, I think, because then you spread the weight out over the shoulder. He's got. I wonder if he's a, Sean's a fireman, maybe. Yeah, it sounds like he's gone fireman's lift, doesn't it?
I think it's more heroic doing over the shoulder, isn't it? The idea that you're sort of rescuing your wife rather than...
Yeah, more sort of patronising. Yeah.
What does he say? It's quarter of a furlong.
I have no idea what that is.
I don't know what that quarter is. What's that in real money?
How long's a furlong, guys?
Quarter furlong distance. 50 metres.
Oh, what? I could carry... Oh, that's nothing.
But I tell you what else caught my attention there, because I think the competition last week was the wife's weight in ale.
Yeah.
They've got combined... So you're only having to go to Bath, you're not having to go to Scandinavia.
Yeah.
It's only 50 metres and it's combined weight. Oh, that's a decent prize, that.
Should we pretend we're married and I'll carry you?
Can I dress up in blue? I can
do it. This is my blue man husband.
Oh, no.
Let's do it. Let's enter it.
Oh, I don't want to cross...
combined weight in Bath ale, John.
Yeah. Oh, I don't want to cross the line to the phrase, and I'm down again. I think I've said that enough in my life. Well, what do we do here?
I think we can take him down by the fact 50 metres is nothing.
50 metres is no distance at all. But then if that's the set distance and everybody else has just done it, but not as well.
That's true. It's not he hasn't set the distance, has he, Sean?
I mean, there are people who run marathons for charity with like fridges on their back and stuff. If you want to carry your partner to win a bit of beer, then, you know. It's an achievement of sorts, isn't it?
Of sorts, yeah. Or a selfish act. You could, if you've got that power and you've got that ability, use it for good.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a selfish act. All you've done is damage your livers and fundamentally undermine your marriage. Mm. But maybe you went to the baths. Maybe you had a nice weekend out in Bath as well. It's not a trend that can continue, is it?
No.
Not good long term for a relationship. It would change things between you and I, Angela, if you carried me 50 metres.
Yeah, you wouldn't be able to. I'd take away what little self-respect you've got left.
It's enough that you carry me for 3 hours on a Saturday morning. So congratulations to Sean and his partner, if that's the sort of thing you want to do with your life. Angela Barnes,
hello.
Formerly powerlifting queen.
What do you mean formerly?
Well, now there's a possible chance that you're Oki Queen.
Oh, well.
I was amazed this week on our show WhatsApp that you just dropped in casually. Oh, by the way, been listening to Russ Bray's book about darts this week, commuting to gigs.
Well, what happened? So last week after the show, we went and had a little team drink, didn't we?
We did,
a little get-together.
Yes.
And we were
isotonic sports drink in the ice bath to recover for this week's show.
Exactly. Next time, can you leave your trunks on? We were talking about darts, and you and producer Will, both big fans of the darts, and... I've never really watched the darts or know much about darts, but I like the idea of going to the darts. Like, it feels like a place where I belong, the darts.
Yes.
And so I thought, oh, this
what
is
it about? What is it about the atmosphere there other than the darts that makes you say that?
Is it the
singing?
It's the singing, it's the loudness, it's the drinking, it's the party atmosphere, John. It's where I belong, you know.
Long trestle tables covered in 2-pint pots.
It just looks so much fun.
And so
I thought, well, if I'm going to, like, you said, maybe we'll organise a little team outing to the darts. I love it that it's the darts. So I thought, well, I need to learn about darts then. So I downloaded the audiobook of Russ Bray's book all about darts. And I listened to it. I drove to Bristol and back on Monday for a show. So I listened to it in the car. And I loved it. Like, his voice is... Russ Bray's voice is like all of my dad's friends in one man. That's the only way I could describe it. It's just every man I ever knew growing up.
So he's the famous people who just are aware of darts through the sounds. He's 180.
Yeah.
He's the gruff voice
caller.
It's
so gruff. And he's so... I mean, he does say in his book, to get that voice, he had to smoke from the age of 10, which we don't recommend, obviously. But
no, we don't recommend.
But his voice sounded amazing.
So the key for me, in terms of the show outing to the darts, which I'm well up for, but the key about darts is I think you've got to play a bit of darts.
Right.
I've had a dartboard in my house since I was about 16.
Amazing.
And I remain so bad. I mean, it's ridiculous how many ones I still hit. I'll hit more threes than 180s, I'll tell you that. very comfortably.
I've got a dartboard. I need to put it up because I won one on House of Games. I've got a gold one because I won it on the Champion of Champions thing. So I've got a gold dartboard with Richard Osman's face in the middle of it. But
well, if you're going to drop your quiz credentials...
I thought I'd get that in because I know what's coming next.
Yeah, if you're going to brag about how good you are at quizzes and you've just read a book this week, then how about this? Well, if you can answer one of these questions correctly,
right,
having read Ross Bray's book, then I will get us a table at the darts and the drinks and the darts will all be on me. And
when
I say the
joking?
Drinks on me, you can't tip a pint on my head. I mean, I will pay for the beers.
Really? Is this real? Yeah. I just need to get one right. I'm not going to get any right. All I know about darts is what I've read in this book this week. That's it.
Well,
if it's not in Ross Bray's book, I don't know it.
It's a test of you and Ross Bray, then, should we say.
Okay.
Oh, these are interesting questions anyway, I think. So this is a maths one as well. So if you want to, you could work this one out.
Okay.
I don't think you will.
Okay.
How many ways of getting a 9-dart finish are there? So obviously, a 9-dart finish is the pinnacle of darts. Mm. It's the fewest darts with which you can check out from 501 finishing on a double. How many ways of going about that are there?
So you need... Oh, God. There can't be that many ways, can there? Otherwise, they'd do it all the time. So I'm going to say there's one way.
3,944.
So I'm a little bit out, is what you're saying.
Just slightly off.
Oh, I really want to go to the darts.
This one is about height. How high should a dartboard be from the floor?
The bullseye is 5'8" from the floor.
Angela?
Yeah?
You're going to the dart.
Yes!
It's 5'8".
I got one right!
And do you know why it's 5'8"?
Well, presumably something to do with the average height of a male player or something.
You're bang on. It's eye level for an average 6-foot person.
There you
so
go.
That puts the bullseye
an average
at eye
6-foot.
Level.
A 6-foot's not average, is it?
No.
Maybe it's average for a darts.
Freakishly tall.
Yeah.
These giants.
Yeah, I can't believe you said on air that you're taking me to the darts now and paying for everything.
Well,
this is amazing.
I've got to organise
it. I'm so excited.
If you've got that one, you might get this one. How far away from the board is the hockey?
2.73 metres.
Oh, I want that in old money.
Oh.
In feet and inches. 2.73 metres in feet.
9 foot something?
Oh, 9 foot. No, that's old school. It's 7'9" and an inch and a quarter inch. It was originally 9 foot, so I'm going to give you half a point there.
Okay.
And do you know, since you're already going, let's have a bit of fun, and I will ask you if you can name the darts player whose nickname is Snakebite, since we will be drinking many of them.
Oh, I can pick, yes, because, I can't remember his
rhymes.
Name.
It rhymes. It's Snakebite.
Right, someone right. Pete
Peter Wright.
Wright. I got it.
Snakebite Peter Wright. That's exceptional. From someone who didn't know anything about darts last week and has read a book once. That's very impressive.
We're going to the darts. Is that what they sing?
That is what the song they always open with. We're going to the darts. And at some point, Angela, during the darts, I will be kidnapped and you will have to perform that song in front of the entire arena to win me back.
So I'll just leave you kidnapped.
So it's time now for the literal police. Literal. It's just me being snidey about people misusing the word literally in interviews and in anything broadcast.
It's a job that has to be done, John. You know, someone's got to do it. And I think you're the man for it.
Yeah, I like to think whilst there are people who love Absolute Radio who might dip out for this bit because they find it a bit snidey, I do like to think there are people who don't listen to Absolute Radio. I think Attenborough tunes in at this point every week.
Oh, yeah. I think it brings more people in than it sends away. I do.
I think those who are into that kind of thing think this is John really trying to drag the standards of the nation up and we appreciate it. But what it is just me being mean to, as it turns out this week, people I work with and people
I
know very well indeed.
People in this building will not learn.
Yeah, so the literal police is there to, I mean, in literal prison, people who misuse the word literally, we can't do it without your help. You are, of course, the bobbies on the beat, the snitches. Simon is one of those. He gets an upgrade this week. He'll get a shiny badge for telling me about this. He says, John, I feel the need to report a violation to the literal police that I heard on the radio on Monday the 7th of July whilst driving home from a weekend away. Lovely context.
Nice.
We know he's relaxed. He's had a nice time.
Yeah.
We don't know that, actually. It could have been awful. around midday on Magic, whoa, listening to the wrong station then. I mean, since you've had the good grace to imprison one of its presenters, I will allow it, but you should be listening to Absolute. Nick Snaith was talking about all the gigs and festivals that had been on over the weekend and said that whilst he didn't attend one, literally everybody else had.
Well,
the thought of 65 million people going to a concert in one weekend seems somewhat unrealistic. Keep up the good work. Regards, Simon. Let's have a listen.
So many gigs happening at the moment. This weekend, I think, was Gig Central. If my social media is anything to go by, literally everybody was at a gig this weekend except me.
Well, there's a slight defence you can mount there, isn't there? Because he did put in a qualifier, which is if my social media is anything to go by.
So do we have access to his social media? Did literally everybody that he follows on social media go? If you want a defence, Angela,
that's the only way we can prove it. So what we need, really, before we can sentence him, is for Nick Snaith to submit his phone and all his digital devices.
Well, instead, he's left us a voice note.
Okay.
Is that the same?
Yeah.
It's legally safer for him, I think. So here's Nick's defence.
Hi, John. It's Nick Snaith here from Magic Radio. Hope you're well. I hear I've been reported to the literal police. That's quite disturbing. Let me just explain. Let me defend myself. I actually meant was that everybody on my Instagram had been to a gig that weekend except me. Not literally the whole country. I mean, that would be crazy, wouldn't it? Anyway, I think you should be a little bit more concerned about the fact that said listener was listening to me at 12:10 on Monday the 7th of July and not to the glorious Absolute Radio. I think, really, they should be locked up for not being loyal to the mighty Absolute Radio. I think you're barking up the wrong tree here, mate. Anyway, have a good show. Loving your work.
Oh, he's got the nice magic voice, but there's a sting in that tail, isn't there?
Yeah, that was a cracking voice note. Because I tell you what, when it started, and I mean this absolutely genuinely, the panic I have of what to say first after a song ends that leads to me saying okie dokie on air every week. The way he said, hello, John, I felt instantly engaged and I felt happy. And
Nick doesn't have that panic, does he? He comes out of every song with the perfect thing.
And I can only assume that's because he's just genuinely quite a decent person.
Maybe, you know, his defence seems to be that's not what I meant. Well, if it's not what you meant, don't say it.
Yeah, oh, I love that, Angela. Love that. I've gone to his Instagram.
Right. Oh, you've had a look. Okay.
I can tell you now, he's got more than 5,000 followers. Oof. Now, I find it inconceivable that all 5,000 people following him on Instagram. He's following over 1,000.
Right.
So is he following 1,000 people who've been to a festival?
I don't think so.
He can't be.
But I don't think so. I think it's a slam dunk, I'm afraid. I sort of tried to defend him because he's in the, you know, they're a sister station, they're in the family, they're in the building.
But they are stealing listeners from Absolute Radio. So I guess I have a professional obligation.
He said we should worry more about, you know, the fact that that Simon was listening to Magic on a Monday afternoon. But I don't think you and I care what happens on a Monday afternoon, do we? It's Saturday morning we care about.
Yeah, good luck broadcasting from prison, Nick. Shut the cell doors. There we go.
He got stuck a bit.
Yeah. he's jammed his foot in the door. No, wait, just listen. That's not what I meant. Now, we're going to have a little moment here because the next event is genuine. This is a very tough one for us.
Oh, really?
It happened under the nose of one of our officers, and therefore there is a reprimand needed for those who could have intervened because, of course, there is a cost of inaction as well. So I might be stripping someone of an official literal police badge. This next one is a problem for us. And it wasn't brought to us by the person it should be brought to.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? That's what's upsetting.
Louise in Scarborough, who I believe is Whoop Whoop Louise.
I think, did we not make her a community support officer?
And she's using that responsibility well.
Good.
So this offence comes from the Memory Lane podcast. I don't know if you're aware of that podcast.
Oh, I know who hosts that.
The brilliant Jen Brister and a certain Kerry Godleman from this very parish. So you'd think any literal offences on that podcast would be picked up on there and then. Let's hear Louise.
Hey Rico and Barnsley, I have a serious case to report to the literal police, which involves some serious failures from one of your officers. I was listening to the Memory Lane podcast hosted by Kerry Godleman and Jen Brister. They were talking to Esther Minito and she was dropping literal bombs everywhere. But it was Jen's that mainly stood out. Jen said she literally didn't know her backside from her elbow. I bet she did know the difference because you don't go wiping your elbow after you've been to the toilet. So disappointing to hear a crime committed right under Kerry's nose and hear her take no action. Perhaps you can lock up Jen and discipline Kerry. Does the literal police have a line of duty style, AC-12? Louise from Scarborough. Whoop, whoop.
It's another cracking voice note.
Louise, you are in the team. I love it. I love having Louise on board. She's on it.
Now, let's hear the offence and then I have a suggestion for you. Here we go.
Well, you were 25 when you got married, so you were committing young.
Yeah. I mean, literally at 25, I didn't know my from my elbow. There is no way on God's green earth I could have committed to anyone at 25.
Oh, Jen. I love Jen Brister. Jen Brister's a friend of mine. It's hard. But, well, you know,
it is,
rules,
you know,
are rules, aren't they?
Justice is hard, Angela. Mm. It has to be, and it has to be fair.
Or
you're going to let her off just because you're
Kerry
a friend of hers?
And I just sit there and do nothing, can we?
So here's what I suggest, because that's an open and shut case.
Yeah.
As Louise rightly points out, nobody genuinely confuses their backside from their elbow. She also says in her voice note that Esther Manito is dropping them left, right and centre. Mm. And Kerry obviously is responsible for letting that slide. I say we put the whole podcast in jail.
Yeah.
I'm just with get you. Them all in there.
The only thing I can think of that might be going on, John, mm-hmm. is Kerry working undercover and she's just not quite ready to blow her cover? Is she waiting for more offences till she blows her cover?
What is she waiting for after that? That's the moment where you get out, isn't it?
Yeah,
that's where
you're
someone
right. She's got
hands
it.
You the goods and says, oh, I can't tell you where I got it from.
Yeah.
Right, end tape. Back to the office. Guys, I was so nervous. I thought I was going to get busted.
Kerry, I tried to defend you there, but no, you're right. The whole podcast's in.
All three of them in jail with Nick Snaith. It's been a cracking week on the Literal Police. I've really enjoyed that one. Four people for the price of one. If you spot a literal offence, contact us anytime. Literal Police Hotline, john@absoluteradio.co.uk.
John Richardson.
And the John Richardson Show.
Off on his jollies, isn't he? Do you think he's tuning in from his holiday?
No, he's watching the darts, isn't he?
He is. What a life.
What a life. In the sun, watching the darts. Lucky boy.
If he is tuning in, it'll be that time when he says, hey, lads, I know we're having a cracking holiday together, having beers and a laugh. Let's put Absolute Radio on, because John Rhys and Angela Barnes are about to discuss news that wasn't in the news that perhaps could or should have been in the news.
If he is doing that, he won't have friends to go on holiday with next year.
And then he's one step closer to becoming me.
Will, get out while you can. Stay there. Don't come back. Save yourself, Will.
Here's a headline that I assume comes from it's because you only get quotes, obviously, in this. It's impossible to read the irony in it. So I don't know how. This is a story about a lady called Steph. And the headline is, colder temperatures leaves heavily tattooed woman worried that people won't know she's cool anymore. Woman who prides herself on her excellent ink work has been left worrying that no one will know she's cool anymore as the cold weather now sees her covering up her sick sleeve tats. Tattoos on arms, legs and back. Steph now says she goes weeks without bearing her tattoos to the elements because it's been cold. I'll be walking down the street. Do you want me to give her an accent?
Yeah, go on. What accent are you giving her? I think I know where this is going.
I feel like she might be from the northeast, but I'm not sure.
Oh, okay.
Sure.
I thought you were going to give her sort of mine and Kerry's accent. I felt that.
Oh, yeah, I can
on.
Do that then. Yeah, I'll do
yeah,
that.
Go on then.
I'll be walking down the street. That all right?
Yeah, perfect.
Or see someone else covered in tattoos and they've got no idea that I am too a very cool person.
All right, Michael Caine.
So what she'll do, because this isn't a thing, I feel like once you're going to the extent of doing what she's doing, you've undermined the inherent coolness. The whole joy of a tattoo is it's like, I don't care, I'm just my own person, this means something to me, I'll put it on my body. What she'll do is if she sees another person with tattoos, she'll roll her sleeves up to show them the tattoo to go, I'm cool as well.
A bit like when you drive a Mini and you wave at someone else.
Yeah, you bib your horn.
Yeah.
I feel that in itself is so inherently uncool that sort of lost the right to claim to be cool, haven't
you? Who's told Steph that she's cool? I mean, I'm sorry, Steph, if you're... She's not listening to this, is she? She's a heavily tattooed woman, but...
Not after my impression.
No. But... I mean, who gets to... You don't get to decide if you're cool. Someone else gets to decide if you're cool. Otherwise, we'd all be cool. wouldn't we?
Yeah, I don't think I would still. I think even if I had to judge myself, I'd say no. But she says, I'm considering just being cold because I can't keep walking past tattooed goth baddies with them thinking I'm basic. So there's a real insecurity there.
Also, if the goths have got their tattoos out, then they're cold as well. And they're just doing the same thing to you. Because if it's warm enough to cover up, even the goths have
That's
to cover
true.
Up. So you're all idiots, is what I'm saying. And I'm saying that as a person with tattoos. I'm not saying tattooed people are idiots. I'm saying people that are concerned about whether other people can see their tattoos.
Yeah, I mean, I'm guessing her tattoos all say, please like me, or please smile, I'm vulnerable.
Have you got tattoos, John? I can't imagine you with a tattoo.
I love the fact that you even asked, Angela.
Yeah, I knew when I asked that
it's
you didn't
enough
have a tattoo.
You even asked for me.
I would sometimes you ever get think one? About
I would get one, but you just have to be self-aware enough to know I'm in my early 40s at the moment. And if I did get one, no matter what it was, people would go, oh, yeah. Does it look good on your motorbike?
I'm getting a new helmet cover up your bald spot? In a couple of weeks. Does that make me sad?
What number will this one be?
I've got three at the moment, but I've only got little ones. This time I'm getting a sleeve. So
you're going for a sleeve?
I'm going for it. Not a full sleeve, just a quarter sleeve on my upper arm. Yeah.
Charlie's face.
Charlie, you are Charlie.
Is this, and when you do a sleeve, oh God, now it's just...
I've never had one before, so I've only got little tattoos. So I've got my little one on my wrist, a little one on my ankle and a little one on my back.
When one does a sleeve, do you bespoke design the whole thing, or is there just like a pattern that you like?
So I've found a tattooist who does the style I like. So this sort of Scandinavian folk art is the very floral. And so I've messaged her and we've discussed what I like. So she's coming up with a design and then I'll go in and have the design done.
That is exceptional. Well, I look forward to seeing that. Please tell me you're not having your House of Games trophy incorporated into the design.
Well, I'm not now, no. This is one of those stories, John, that just sort of pops up every now and then. Mm. And it says, well, the headline is, we're one step closer to living on the moon. As if that was something we all want, for a start. And it says, and it's thanks to something, in inverted commas, magic. Now, this is some Chinese scientists at the University of Hong Kong. They have apparently invented a way to extract water from lunar soil so that, theoretically, you could sustain life on the moon. Now, I take issue with the something magic in this because what they've discovered is something science. Very much. Where's this magic? Like, what? Well, I mean, it's great that they found a way to extract water from the soil, but the water must be in there. Like, it's science, John, not magic.
It is, but is there not something to be said for putting a greater appreciation of science as magic? Because it doesn't have to be mystical, but to appreciate the joy and the importance of a scientific discovery like that is, in a way, its own magic.
It is, but this is where we get blurred lines, you know, where people think that science is wrong because we're allowed to believe in magic now, and it just frustrates me. Well, These people have worked really hard. They've worked hard. This could be their life's work, John. They've put in the hours. They probably don't have girlfriends or wives or husbands or whatever, and they've just put in that. And then some headline just says, "Oh, it's magic." No, it isn't. I've done the work.
Well, tell me this then. What headline would you put if they'd managed to extract lager from lunar soil?
That's magic.
Yeah, exactly.
No, that's magic.
The mistake they've made is massively overstating the importance to me in terms of survival of water. I realise my body needs it, but if you're asking me to move to the moon, well, water's not going to get me there.
That's it, isn't it? Like, I don't think just extracting water from soil is quite a leap from that to being able to live comfortably on the... Like, I get it, humans need water to survive, but like we also need power. We also need fuel. We also need Deliveroo. We need... There's other
Snarky
things.
Snarky DJs on a Saturday morning.
Exactly. It's a long way off. I could see you volunteering to go and live on the moon, John, as long as no one else did.
I could see me being volunteered. I tell you what I think as well, the headline, we're one step closer to living on the moon, is less about the developments that are happening on the moon and more about what's happening here.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's like saying, I'm moving house next week. Oh, is the new build nearly finished? No, I've just set fire to the old house. So I've really given myself a deadline.
You're so right.
We're celebrating all things Britpop this summer at Absolute Radio. The Oasis reunion tour continues to be the big news of the moment. We're celebrating on Absolute Radio with a documentary called Oasis, What's the Story? Which will be on at 8 p.m. tomorrow night.
You couldn't call it anything else, could you?
No,
really?
You sort of have to. You just got to lean into it, haven't you? It is the 30th anniversary year of What's the Story, Morning Glory, and the return of Oasis to arenas around the world, presented by fellow Mancunian actor, comedian, legend of the fast show, John Thompson.
Oh, amazing.
He's got interviews with Nolan, Liam Gallagher, key names from the music industry, people who were there in that studio 30 years ago, everybody else queuing to get their hands on the album, going to gigs, decorating their personal history with mad stories.
It really hurts that that was 30 years ago. Like, it really hurts.
Do you feel it?
I really feel it. When you say, I know it's 30 years ago intellectually. Of course I do. I can do maths, but...
Yeah.
Oh, that's a long time, isn't it? 30 years, and it feels like yesterday, John.
Yeah, I can feel that this is a very direct point, isn't it? What's the Story is sort of is a big moment. So that came out 2nd of October, broadly 1995. So when you say 30 years is a long way, what are you up to in 1995?
So 1995 was the year I did my A-levels. So I did my A-levels, and then that summer, when I finished my A-levels, was my very first Edinburgh Fringe.
Holy moly. So this is 18. This is the world opening up to you.
Oh, it was such a world of discovery. I was 18. I went up on the coach from Kent.
From, yeah. Okay, decent.
I was in a little student theatre company, and we went up there and we did a play called The Beast of Penprivy. That was written by a guy called Christopher W. Hill, who now is a children's author, I think. And we did this play, and it was so much fun. I don't remember much about the play, but I remember being 18 and discovering bars that were open till 5 a.m. And I'd, you know, I'd done my A-level, so I had nothing to worry. You know, there's no like, oh, I've got to do my revision or get rid of it. I had my place at university. In fact, I got my A-level results while I was in Edinburgh. We had them phoned through.
That's very exciting. Yeah. So proper, carefree.
Oh, it's done. Brilliant.
That feeling of ending school is enormous.
Oh, just such a feeling of freedom. All that work, all that stress. And then you just go and
have a
summer.
And you're on it, are you? You're having a few drinks.
Having a few drinks. We're doing the play every day, having a few drinks. It was, you're with your mates who are also theatre nerds like you are. We had the best time. It's great.
And you've kindly shown me a picture of, and we've all said, real Wednesday Adam vibes.
Yeah, it was. So there's a little photo of my little, like, what was called the varsity club in those days in Edinburgh. And, yeah, my photo on it, I was 18, John. I look at that girl, it's like a different girl. You want to talk to her, don't you? When you see a picture of yourself when you're that young, you just want to take
her
to one
side. Well, I tell you what it is. Everyone else sees a very... a clear idea of what sort of person they assume you were at that age, and you know the actual truth. You look into the eyes of that person and know exactly what you were feeling and all the insecurities that aren't there.
Oh, I was
in the picture.
Just a mess of insecure. I thought I was so hideous and fat and all those. And I look at that picture and go, what a pretty young little thin thing you were. And, you know,
very
you
beautiful young woman making her Edinburgh debut, going to gigs.
Going to gigs, I was that summer. I went, oh, who did I see in 95? I think I saw Pulp in 95 as well. In fact, I think because I went briefly went to York University and then I transferred and I went to see Pulp in somewhere in York. I can't remember the venue now, but that would have been in 95.
Not the Jorvik.
The Viking Centre? I don't think so. No, don't.
Just Jarvis popping out of that bit downstairs where you go around in that train.
Jarvis, is that smell you?
Yeah. It's the smell is what everyone remembers.
It is the Jorvik. It was all authentic. We didn't have the internet, did we, John?
All these tour guides so convinced that the idea of seeing like the end of a spear is going to change your life as a kid, and it's the bit where it smells of poo.
That's the only you bit remember. You want. Oh.
So while we're discussing awful smells, I'll tell you what I was up to in 1995. Angela has just completed her first run at the Edinburgh Fringe, completed a play, and you were reviewed as...
I've got the review in front of me, but I don't need to look at it because I can remember what they said. Angela Barnes exudes gym slip earnestness.
Wow.
I don't know what
Is that
meant.
Good or bad?
I think it was good. I was playing a schoolgirl, I should say. I was like, there's a reason why it was gym slip earnestness. Otherwise, it sounds a little bit creepy.
Well, I think there have been similar reviews for people who weren't playing schoolgirls. Male reviewers reviewing women, but we don't need to go into that. So you finished your A-levels. 1995, that's the end of my first year at high school.
Oh.
So I've just... I've just finished, and I've got my school report.
I picked you in your first year at high school. Did you have a rucksack that was bigger than you?
I had, yeah, my rucksack was too big. My blazer was too big because I had to grow into it. So big blazer, big rucksack. Rucksack is so heavy because for the first year, I was so nervous that the timetable would change and I didn't know I would take every school book in every day rather than just the books for that lesson. So I had to carry it on two straps because it was too heavy. And obviously then people come up behind you and yank the middle bit and leave you on your back like a turtle. So that's happening a lot. Teacher-wise, a day's absent one, which is mind-blowing.
Yeah.
I mean, I had so much time off in the latter years. So to have gone a whole year with one day off just shows I haven't worked out yet that you can abuse the system a lot more.
And you're trying to make a good impression in your first year. I bet you were. I bet you wanted the teachers to like little John.
So I've got stuff that will show you what John at home is doing and what John at school is doing. My form master says, a bright pupil who has coped very well with the challenge of a new school. He is an extremely mature personality who has set a good example to the rest of the form, both in the academic and social spheres.
Oh, they hated you, didn't they, those other kids? That's what
I don't remember setting a good social example to my peers at any point in school. So that's what's going on at school. Quiet little nerd. At home, I am massively... I mean, the Panini sticker album is huge.
Wait a minute. What team is that, John?
That's Arsenal. That's the front cover.
I thought you were showing
me... I've lost the front cover.
Okay, fine. I thought you were showing me that you were an Arsenal fan there for a minute.
No,
I was about to freak out.
I can show you the 1995 Leeds team in its full glory there.
Wow.
The only page of... I don't know how much... In my head now, this is worth millions.
John is showing me a Panini book with all the Leeds United players stuck in it.
I mean, it's got everyone in there. It's got Phil Mesinga in there. It's got Nigel Worthington in there. It's got David Weatherall in there.
Nigel
I mean, everyone's talking about
Worthington
the Britpop summer.
Isn't a current footballer name, is it? You could tell that's back in the day.
It is well back in the day. And if you told the boy who was collecting these stickers that you would go on to get your... I've still got the shirt I bought that season, signed now by David Weatherall.
Oh.
I mean, game-changing moment. So I'm really into football stickers, really into VHS. So I've got two of the VHS
that I bought.
All-file
show and X-Files, nice.
So John Thompson is presenting the Oasis documentary. I'm holding the Fasho VHS.
I had that VHS, that very one.
X-Files, massively into the X-Files. Mm. And this is my copy of What's the Story from that year. So
nice.
This is, I finally catch up with Britpop a little bit this year. Up until this point, sort of left me behind. This is the first album I buy as it comes out. And just play to death while playing Donkey Kong and things like that in my room. Now, I'm going to show you a picture now. So this is my bedroom wall at this time.
Right.
And I want you to picture a boy described by his form master as a bright pupil with an extremely mature personality. And then I want you to describe for the listeners my bedroom wall from 1999.
Let's just say it was a different time.
It's a very different time.
I'm going to suggest that most of these pictures came from Loaded magazine or...
Athena. No, no, I've gone out to Athena and I've
paid money for these. Okay.
These are big size.
So we have from left to right. I can't... Is that Pammy on the left as well? Are they both Pammy? Two Pamela Andersons.
Two Pams and two Claudias.
And two Claudia Schiffers. So that's nice. You gave them equal wall space. I'm sure they'll be pleased to hear that.
Yeah, and look at the symmetry and the alignment. I mean, that's a kid who's more into maths than the women on the posters,
right? Did you use a spirit level to put those on? That's what it... I'm also really enjoying the 90s wallpaper. That is...
Yes.
Really, that was really fashionable in the 90s to paint the top half of your wall and just wallpaper half of it with a little border strip across the middle.
Yeah,
that is
paper,
classic
sort
90s.
Of dado rail.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just didn't know who I was. I mean, let me say now, these women, that's who I'm told I'm supposed to be attracted to.
Right.
So you just look at a boy who does not know what he's doing.
And went, okay, this is what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah, guys, if you're all doing it. I mean, by 1997, and I'm not joking, these posters have come down and been replaced by posters of Titanic and Independence Day. So I pick a team. I have a look at unrealistic female form and I decide that actually I'm going to be the movie nerd. And underneath that, the one certificate I've achieved in my life to that point is a 5-star award for participation in a maths competition.
Just for participation?
Yeah,
and doesn't say where you came in the competition.
No, just turned up there.
You framed it, John.
Framed it, and I've put it underneath Pamela Anderson as if she could only see what I was capable of. That one day she would fall in love with me. And I would say now, having released a vegan cookbook, that Pamela Anderson has come more to my world than I have to hers. Mm. So, you know, we've all found ourselves eventually. But just a mess of a young man who didn't know what he was doing. And I'm pleased to say that trend continues to this day. Well, we've made it through again, haven't we?
We have. Old friend. We've got away with it again, mate.
We've got away with it one more time. The time has come for us to leave you in the capable hands of Sarah Champion. This show is available as a podcast for those of you who couldn't be with us for the full thing due to life commitments, or listen to the whole thing and are at a time in your life when it matters to you to listen again. And I wish you well in your recovery.
And hello again.
Hello again. What do you think we should call this week's podcast?
Well, I've thought about it for the show, and I think See You Later, Miss.
See you later, miss.
I want to call it, because that it was right at the top of the show, but it really
that
made me smile.
The first thing, it is the school holiday. You never lose that feeling of Well, that's it now. 6 weeks.
And 6 weeks, when you're 8, 9, 10, whatever, 6 weeks is such a long time.
It is an eternity. I don't remember there being back-to-school stuff in the supermarkets at the start of the holidays.
No.
I remember it coming in. Now it's already there now.
Oh, really? Yeah, it'd be there brutal. Like the last week of August, maybe. It'd start creeping in, wouldn't it?
You'd have
to go and get your new shoes. Do you remember having to go and get your new school shoes?
Yeah, absolutely. All to look forward to. I was going to suggest something. The highlight for me of this week's show was undoubtedly your performance in the darts quiz.
Thanks, mate. I'm quite proud of it, I must admit.
I was going to suggest something like "Oki Oki Oki Oi Oi Oi."
Oh, nice!
But we will go with "See you later, Miss." Have a wonderful rest of your weekend. Thank you to Dave and Charlie. Thank you to you for being with us this morning. I'm seeing you on Monday, Angela.
Oh yeah, we're doing the thing in Sheffield, aren't we?
We're doing a charity gig together.
We do another women charity. Oh, there's an opportunity for you to do your smashy and nicey again then.
Yeah, okay. So see you all next week. See you on Monday. Yeah. All being well. Take care of yourselves. If you can't be kind, do your best.
No.
I don't know what that means.
Charity. We're doing a lot of work for charity.
A lot of work for charity, mate. thank you for joining us. Have a fantastic weekend. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
John Richardson.
And the John Richardson Show.
There you go. That's it. That's what we do.
Lovely. Fun, wasn't it? It was fun.
That's what we do. It was a right bit of fun. We will be back next week on Absolute Radio, 8 a.m. Saturday mornings. Have a fantastic week, whatever you're doing. Thank you to you, Angela. Thank you to Dave and Charlie. No thanks to Will.
No.
But he's earned the opportunity.
I hope he's having a lovely time.
Do you?
Nah.
Watching the darts in the sun. What a life.
Oh.
How many people in Blackpool wish they were on holiday where he is? And how many people where he is have made the trip specifically to watch the World Match Play from Blackpool? He's a unique individual, and we love him greatly. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Bye.